Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. As usual, we have an exciting guest today. Her name is Dina Bruton. She is a beauty archetype. I mean, who doesn't like that, right? We all love beauty, and who doesn't need a beauty archetype? Architect. But before we dive deep with Dina, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for high quality, creative, activewear leggings, all natural essential oils, all natural facial masks, bath soaps, aromatherapy diffusers, natural deodorants, and so much more at happybeingwell.com. Use code PODCAST25 for 25% off all leggings, free shipping in the USA. Also, subscribe to Happy Being Well's email newsletter for 10% off all products and free shipping on all items. Always, always. So, Dina, welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. So, you are a beauty. The
The
beauty
beauty architect.
architect. So explain to us, what is that? What is the beauty architect? I'm assuming it's involving makeup and hair.
It does absolutely involve hair and makeup. So, as the beauty architect, I am mentoring some future beauty architects. But what that is I'm a master cosmetologist by trade, freelance makeup artist, as well as a content creator. I do some other things too, but those are the main things that I do. And in doing that, I found that a lot of my clients needed help with creating the total look. And so what I do as a beauty architect is I build their look from the bottom up. So whereas someone might go and purchase, do their own shopping or decide what their makeup look like should look like on their own, they don't have to deal with the frustration of any of that because I will help them based on their lifestyle, their likes, their dislikes, and a couple of other things, help them to make a their own look. Put together their own signature look, which is what I'm all about. Every woman is unique in her own way. We're all beautiful, but we're beautifully different. And because we're beautifully different, physically, emotionally, skin tone, height, all of those things, we're gonna wanna do it differently. And so, my job is to make sure that you can find where you fit and where you want to be so that you're comfortable showing up in your own skin, but doing it in a very polished, enhanced way. So you feel super comfortable and confident about who you are and how you show up.
That sounds amazing. And I have a friend who's like a makeup artist, and she would take me aside sometimes and like teach me all, and it's a real serious skill, and like teach me about like how, what's my undertone. It's yellow undertone. You need to have this specific tone of foundation, and there's all these techniques, because and I mean, I typically don't, I mean it when I do apply all the techniques she taught me. I mean, I look amazing, but it does require serious energy and effort to, meticulously, use the brushes, and you have a certain brush, for your foundation, for your eyes, and there's different ways you can apply it, and choosing colors that are most appropriate to your skin tone, or even what you're wearing for the day. So I, it is a serious, like, skill set. That not all of us women have time to like master, to learn, or even to like e just apply it on our, so it's but it's really fun. And and I noticed, you feel like you feel really good about yourself once you, do apply makeup in a very, in a way that complements your skin tone, and on a very like advanced, everything's about details, right? The more detail you can infuse in something, the better it looks, the end result. So it's all about those little details and what's the best match and stuff like that. So, and that just feels amazing. So, what's been your, like, what led you to become this, to go into this profession?
Okay, so let me address one thing that you said before we move to the question. You're absolutely right. It does take a skill set, but there are lots of fast and easy ways to make sure that we enhance and polish our looks. What I find that is a lot of times we don't have the time or won't make the time is a better way of saying it. To learn those things. So once you learn a signature way to do it fast and flawlessly, you'll always be able to do it fast and flawlessly. And once you, since you now know how to do it, every time you practice, it's going to speed it up. So don't give up and don't feel like it's just for women that have a bunch of time and trophy wives. No. Self-care and beauty is for everybody, but we just have to put in the effort to learn how to do it properly so that we can speed up the time so that we can do it on a more consistent basis if that's what we'd like to do. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Awesome.
absolutely. Yeah, it's a little slow at first, but I promise you it gets faster and it gets better. So tell me your question one more time because I want to make sure I answer it.
What
Yeah.
led you to go into this profession?
What led me to go in this profession? So it chose me. I did not choose it. That's what happened.
That's
It chose me.
the best way.
It chose me. I did not choose it. I realized at a very young age that I was an entrepreneur. I realized at a very young age that I am solutions oriented. I realized at a very young age that I was super intrigued with pretty things. And when you grow up in an environment where everything isn't naturally or necessarily pretty, and you have these inclinations, you find yourself trying to fix or clean up or polish up, or like you were talking about, the details, add the details to certain things. My mom is horrible at doing hair. She's horrible. This is the conversation we said, but we've talked about this, so I'm not just talking crazy about my mama. She knows she can't do no hair, and all of us had like lots and lots of hair, and I just got tired of getting picked on because I my hair was looking crazy, and so I got to a certain age where she would kind of let me do my hair at least a little bit on my own. And I realized that I really liked doing hair and that I was really amazing at it at a young age. And so that's kind of how I got started. I went to cosmetology school. I was a dual entry student while in high school. So I went to cosmetology school, started when I was 16. And so that's kind of how I got started. There was a problem and I fixed it.
Cool, I like that. It's awesome. And what have you noticed, in terms of women that are more inclined to want to go and, learn, either learn or go to a professional to just do it, just to find ways to amplify their aesthetic, right? Their beauty, right? In terms of going to a professional makeup artist, cosmetologist, versus women who are like a little hesitant. Do you see a difference, or do you feel that there's a difference even when you're after you're working with your clients, how they feel? Like, what's been your experience with women in relation to those more prone to self-care activities like that? Versus kind of hesitant.
So my experience has been, and let me talk about the experience where they transition from one to the other. I think that'll better explain it because I have a lot of experience with that. I've been in the beauty industry for over 30 years. So you get to work with a lot of women, and even their families at times. So I've had clients who were very hesitant in the beginning about coming in for services, whether it be a waxing, whether it be hairstyling, makeup services. I do personal styling services when it comes to wardrobe and things like that. So I've had clients of all types, even other beauty professionals. I work with other beauty professionals and business owners. And what I found in more cases than not is that when we allow people to do the work that we need, that they're experts in that area, that life gets easier for us. We have less stress. We have less frustration. So for women that are in nothing, no shade to anyone who does their own hair, does their own makeup, any of those things. There are women that are good at it and they enjoy it. And kudos to you, because I want one of y'all to come do my hair. But for women who are very frustrated by those activities, but they still reside in a space of being pessimistic, they stay a lot of times super frustrated. They're short on time. They're juggling all of these things. So if your hairstylist took off of your plate, you having to shampoo and blow your own hair, like, that's a relaxing activity. But then also you got that thing accomplished so that you can show up the way that you need to show up in the world. So it really can lend to us being more free, not just physically, but also mentally. Like, if we just sit here and just think for a moment about maybe if you had to miss a hair appointment, right? Like, maybe something happened and you had to stay over at work and you couldn't go in. Your hair still need to be done, right? And so now who's gonna do it? When am I gonna have time to make that up? Well, what am I gonna have? Like, all of these things that they start going on in your head. And it takes a mental space. And some people would say, well, it seems really simple. That's not that big of a deal. But the truth is, we're visual. We don't even want to look in the mirror at ourselves looking a hot mess, right? So when you take those things, not having to figure out your outfits, not having to try to color your hair at home or whatever it is, you need a cut and you don't know how to cut hair. So then you get in here with a pair of shears that ain't even the right kind, and then you gap it up. Like, just taking those things off of your shoulders makes you feel better on the inside, and it makes you feel better about your outside. So a lot of people don't realize that the two correlate, but they very much do. When we look good, we feel good. And when we feel good, we absolutely do our best, is what I always tell people.
Absolutely. And actually, in fact, there's a huge, I wasn't gonna say huge, but I mean there is talk, amongst HR professionals, in regards to the workplace, about the dress code, because when you are dressing professional, then people are more prone to like act professional, right, in the workplace, as opposed to like always being casual and like, you wake up in the morning, you just flop anything on and just go in. I mean, I can even speak from experience. When I'm wearing a suit and I'm very professional, I just feel professional. I'm wearing like the fabric is nice and the way I'm looking professional. I'm like, oh, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I look really good in this. And so it does affect how you feel. And so it is really, really important. And also, I will say that, prior to going to a professional, to do my makeup, sometimes, prior to that, I remember like a real professional, like someone that's worked with models and, like you, like yourself. I remember I didn't really have a lot of experience doing that, aside from like, going to the hair salon to get my hair done. Or like maybe in the mall, like someone's trying to sell me some make or lipstick or whatever, and they'll like apply some make, but they're not, I don't know, they're not exactly. But when I went to like a professional, you actually learn, I learned so much as she's explaining things to me. That I can take home with me. I could always apply that in my day-to-day life for what she taught me, but especially with like about colors and my skin to undertone color, all things that I never even like knew about. So, and then her pointing out what's the best shade for the eyebrow pencil, where when she pointed out versus me just, you know, picking something and thinking, oh, this looks, she picked out a way better shade, right? Because this is what they do for a living. Like she knows her color, she knows their skin types and all that jazz, right? So yeah, it's important to keep in mind that it's not just, even if you're just doing it for like a one-time event, like a wedding or like some celebration, you could take those, what you learned from the professional home with you and apply it to your day-to-day life.
Absolutely, absolutely. In my beauty studio, my beauty studio is named Reveal You Beauty Studio. We are all about education. So anytime we provide any service, whether it be in person or virtually, there's going to always be a factor of education. Why? Because women want to look good every day, and they should look good every day. So if I'm not taking the time to teach my clients how to maintain their look, I'm only doing part of the service. And that's what I find, and why I find working as a beauty architect is so important. Yes, I can provide the products that you need. Yes, I can provide the tools that you need. Yes, I can show up on set and make sure you look good head to toe for your photo shoot or whatever project that you're working on. But when you leave and you need to do it over again tomorrow, what tools do you have so that you can replicate that look again if you want to? I could teach you the same way that I did my makeup today. I do have a makeup artist, but I didn't have to book her and then go to her or have her come to me today. I could sit down at my own work table and do my own makeup really quickly, and to be honest with you, with less of a charge, right? Because I know how to do it. So a lot of times we relegate certain things to only being available to a certain group of people. And this is something that should belong to everybody. Every woman should know how to do her makeup. Every woman should know how her brows should be shaped so that they are customized to her face. Every woman should have a self-care plan. And while we're talking about self-care, there's different types of self-care. So we've talked mostly about the self-grooming part of self-care, but there are many other things that we can do that are self-care. And a lot of times people can get really stuck on, oh, well, I have to do this or do that, and it's going to cost this amount of money or it's going to cost that amount of money. But like you just said, when you learn how to do your own makeup, you can always do your own makeup. You don't necessarily have to pay somebody, right? But there's many other things outside of the personal grooming space that we can do that are self-care. And those are things that I teach my clients as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love that. And yeah, and it does increase your, because I remember, you know, going through that experience when, because prior to that, I just would apply my makeup whatever I wanted, but I felt so much better. And then, you know, now you, I'm walking around with more intention and in terms of how to apply it, and you kind of get more excited about it as well. Like there's more excitement around it because now you know more things to do with it. It's like with anything.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just, so it's a fun thing to do. And what's been like one of the most important lessons you've learned through this journey throughout your career?
I'm used to being the interviewer. And I like being interviewed. That's a really great question. And what's one thing it makes me think? These are the type of questions that I throw at people. A lesson that I learned that I'm more capable and I deserve way more than I knew in prior seasons of my life. What do I mean by that? I'm a mother of four. I'm a single mother, never been married. I have at times put myself on the back burner thinking that I was being a better mom for doing that. And it's totally wrong. It's totally backwards. When we take care of ourselves first, we can show up in a larger capacity for the people that are depending on us. So at times when maybe I would say, oh, I'm going to wait another week before I get my nails done. And I'll just, I'll save that money and I'll just put it off. And don't get me wrong, there are times where we do need to do those types of things. But if we're doing it thinking that we're helping someone else, in most cases, we're probably holding ourselves back from the next thing, right? So let's say, I had an interview somewhere, right? Now, I'm a master cosmetologist, so of course I can do my own hair. But let's say I wasn't, okay? And there was this really, really amazing job that I had applied for, and they want me to come in for an interview. Well, if I wait until they call me for the interview, and then I have to figure out what my outfit is going to be, my hair is not done. So now I got to try to find somebody on the fly because I'm not keeping a regular appointment with the stylist. And so therefore, I can't just call her and be like, girl, I need some help. Can you fit me in today? Because I don't have a regular person. When we stop keeping a continuous routine of self-care, we actually are holding ourselves up from our next thing. And sometimes we don't realize it. Even so much so that have you ever noticed somebody and they like don't want you to see their hands? Like you can tell a woman, like she don't want you to see your hands. Well, instead of her being fully engaged in the conversation, maybe she's at an interview, maybe she's on a date, right? Maybe she just met somebody casually while she was out running errands. Well, she don't want them to see her hands. She's not even fully engaging in whatever it is that she's supposed to be engaged in at the moment because she don't want them to see her nails. But if she, I had gotten them done last week, or she had gotten them done last week, like she should have done, she wouldn't have been focused on that. And people can't put two and two together for you. They don't know why you hiding your hands. They think something wrong with you. So instead of, being focused on that in your subconscious in the back of your mind, you would be fully engaged in what you're supposed to be doing. So sometimes those things hold us up from our next. Sometimes those things will keep us from recognizing good opportunities. Sometimes it just keeps us in a fog and in a funk and unfocused on the things that we should be focused on because we thought we were helping everybody else when all we really were doing was holding ourselves back.
I totally agree. And when you do, when you feel better about yourself and or even just out in the world achieving things, you're also like you're a good role model for your children because
Absolutely.
they're watching you, right? And they're learning from you. So, you do want to show them, this is how I take care of myself and this is how I'm doing life, because that's how they learn how to do life is through what they see their caretakers doing.
They will do exactly what they see us do. You brought up HR, and I wanted to make sure that I said something about that. Can I tell you that I've had clients that have I have had 100% success rate with clients who upgraded their look when they either went into a new job or they began implementing a different look or adding certain details to their look on a consistent basis, that when they were up for a raise, they got their raise. So there are things that HR understands that are attached to our efficiency and our proficiency. And so when they see us show up looking put together, they know that we understand that our attention to detail makes the difference between being a lower level employee or moving up in the ranks. So a lot of times we don't know or realize that these things are all linked in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but they absolutely are. I can take and have taken a woman with a high school diploma and helped her secure a job that was paying her twice what the job she had for 6 years was paying her. They weren't even willing to give her a raise. So sometimes it's about us taking initiative when it comes to ourselves. They need to see the initiative on our end instead of them saying, oh, well, if you did this, we'll give you this. No, they want to know that you are you're self-disciplined and you're going to show up in the way that they need you to show up. But the only way that they can get a glimpse of that is how you show up visually.
Absolutely. And that's such an excellent point to highlight. It is, and it's not only that too, plus it's just as humans, we are highly visual creatures, and we just unconsciously, just by looking at something, we automatically label it as we assume something. It's just not, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, it usually happens subconsciously. We just, if someone's put together, we think they're put together. It's just a thing that, we do. Like, it's just, because it's just, we do that by default. It's automatic thinking, because, it's not like we're going to sit there and go, I wonder if she really is put together or not. Well, maybe she forgot her mug there. So, we're not doing that because we don't have time to do that. And it's not our in our natural nature to sit there and like critique every, like to like that type of depth or whatever. And even if you were, you wouldn't get that right anyways, because it's all based on assumption. But yeah, so it does. And plus, going back to what I think is, when you do dress professionally, I do feel like you, I think there's a thing to how you behave in the workplace. I think, people start to act more professionally, based on how they dress, versus, because I've worked in different types of workplaces, and I really just recalling like the dress codes, and I do feel like the ones that were like, we had to dress professional, there was a bit of a more professional air, versus, everyone just casual all the time. There was much less professionalism, from my experience, recalling back to different types of workplaces. It's really about the workplace culture too, and dress code definitely adds to that. And because it really adds to how we feel, what we, how we treat ourselves. It's really what that boils down to, how we treat ourselves.
Absolutely. Statistics show that based on how we dress, we're going to be productive in something. Let's be very clear about that. We're going to be productive in being unproductive, or we'll be productive in being productive. And I know some people say, duh, but even with the pandemic and people having to work at home, people became more relaxed. Now, I do a lot of work at home, but I can't do everything from home. And so because I know that, and I work with people in this space, I understand the psychology behind why a lot of jobs do not want people to work remote now, because they know that if they are inside of a building, if we have our eyes on you, if you have to get up and get dressed, you're more likely to produce more. It's statistically proven even before the pandemic. So a lot of people are bucking against it. I certainly understand it. But if your productivity went way down, they may not tell you, oh, well, you were producing this prior to the pandemic, but now you're only producing about two-thirds of this. And the only thing that changed is you were working remotely. So for those people that may say, well, I still would like to work remotely, do everything that you can on your end to be as productive as you possibly can. Get up and get dressed. Like, I really had to stress that to some people, and they're like, why? I'm not going anywhere. It's not about you going anywhere. It's about what it does to our brains. It's about what fire. Listen, when I got up and put on this little top, I had on pajamas before this, right? Pajamas are our relaxed clothes, right? They feel different. They look different, right? The way the breathability of the clothing is different when it's your pajamas, right? But like you said, when you put on your suit, you put on your work shirt, your mind clicks. It knows it's go time. And employers understand that. So if we want to keep these other optional ways to work, we still have to do what's necessary so that we show up and we produce what we're supposed to produce. And so that's the first thing that I tell my clients. Well, what you wearing today? Oh, I just be wearing a jogging suit. Well, what would you put on if you had to go in the office? Oh, I would have put on a dress or a skirt and a top. Or some people, it might where they work, they may only need to wear jeans and a shirt. So put you a cute top on or a cute t-shirt on, put you some earrings on, sis, and get to your desk and get to work, right? Be very intentional about that. It makes our brain fire off differently. It makes our brain say it's go time, right? For black and brown women, we got to take our bonnets and our headscarves off, even if we work at home. Take it off because it puts you in a different headspace so that you are focused on what you're supposed to be doing and not the other things that don't matter at that time.
Excellent, excellent points. Love it, love it, love it. Excellent points, and points to consider in our day-to-day lives, especially in this new world we're entering, where it's looking like remote work is kind of going to be growing and maybe here to stay. Or definitely, it's definitely growing. So thank you so much, Dina, for pouring into the Happy Being Well audience. It's getting to that time. Where can people find you to like learn more about you, work with you, maybe schedule a consultation? Do you have any like online?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you can find me on social media as the Beauty Architect, and my website, and you also can find me at Reveal You Beauty. So revealyoubeauty.com, and Instagram is Reveal You Beauty. Clubhouse, just about everywhere you can either find the Beauty Architect or Reveal You Beauty. I put both that way. If people remember one or the other, they'll be able to find me. And my name, if you Google my name, Dina Bruton, you'll be able to find me. I actually have a gift for your viewers right now. I just created this self-care workbook. Actually, and it's going to have some other things in it as well. It's called the Stay Ready ebook because I don't want you to always be in the space of getting ready. I want you to get prepared and stay ready. As busy women that are growing our families, our businesses, our ministries or nonprofit organizations, you want to make sure that you're doing self-care. But a lot of times it can become monotonous or it takes a lot of time. So what I did in this workbook is I laid it all out for you so that things are easy for you to find. These are easy for you to access. Some of us don't like to make decisions about anything. We don't know if we want hot coffee or tea. Pick one. Just pick one, sis. So this workbook is going to help women to make some decisions about the things that they like and the things that they don't like. And you can grab that workbook at bit.ly/stayreadybook, and it's free of charge. Just go and download it. I think that's about it. So yeah, grab that ebook. And yeah, if you want to connect with me for a discovery session, I love helping women get to the root of why they don't want to do self-care or why they think that self-care is one thing or it only works one way. And so if you go to revealyoubeauty.com, you'll be able to schedule a complimentary discovery call and talk directly to me.
All right. Thank you so much, Dina. And all and guys, all the links will be in the show notes. So contact Dina at revealyoubeauty.com. Correct? Reveal
Yes,
you. Yes.
absolutely.
All right, guys. Until next time, live happy, being well.
Thank you for having me.